a lot of people walk into the group workshops thinking, you know, my literacy with technology is not where I think it needs to be to create a short film, but it's not as challenging as, you know, you might perceive, and there's so much support there going through the process.
Welcome to Leading Through Stories, a podcast that explores the how and why of digital storytelling. My name is Christy Wolf, and each episode I connect with storytellers or common language digital storytelling facilitators to learn more about the health and wellness stories they are creating and sharing. Life is made up of meaningful moments. Which ones do you want to share? With me today is common language digital storytelling facilitator Crystal Schofield. Now, Crystal and I have a history. We actually met at a photography conference called Real Life in Portland, Oregon. And people connected us because we both had children with medical diagnosis. So our first time meeting was actually going out for dinner and just learning about each other. Since then, we have done some photography work together. We have also been doing lots of digital storytelling. So Crystal, I've described a little bit about you. Will you tell us more?
Yeah, absolutely. We met and connected around documentary family photography, which is something we both still do. And then our sort of medical parenthood. I am based in Victoria, BC, and I am a documentary family photographer and rare disease parent, and also a digital storytelling facilitator through common language digital storytelling. That's how we've all connected. And I've been working primarily with the rare disease community around storytelling to this point.
Let's jump back to talking about you becoming a common language facilitator, starting with your first story. Why did you end up doing your level one training?
Well, Christy, you introduced me to it.
And I couldn't stop talking about it.
I got this phone call from you, and you were like, there's this thing, and there's this person who's doing this work. And I really think there's something there. And I think watching you go through some of the journey was what really connected me to the why behind digital storytelling. I think it was a natural next step with the photography work we do, and where we're documenting families. It's really about capturing real moments. We're not posing. We're waiting for those moments of connection that happen naturally, and we're bringing those into the frame and sharing those with families. And there's a real emotional impact in that. And I felt like digital storytelling is actually a way to bring words to images and empower people to really create a complete visual narrative that shares an impactful story.
We have both talked about like that idea of photographers will often put together a slideshow of images to share with a client afterwards. And that does something, but the words and the music behind it brought it to a totally different level. And so I remember talking about how much I thought this was like a next step for my photography. And instead of it being a next step for my photography, it kind of became the thing that took over my photography.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And tell people about your first digital story that you created. Because during the level one training, when somebody is taking that training, they will create a story for themselves. And then they will also work with a volunteer within that training period to create a story with somebody else. What was your first story all about?
Yeah, so my first story I created in a workshop as a volunteer storyteller. I was not a facilitator at that point. I jumped into it really with, I didn't have a specific story in mind when I came into the workshop, and it was what came out. And I think it was the story about my experience of transitioning, you know, into the world of rare disease parenthood, basically, having my daughter. And it was about 5 years after she was born. So one of the things for me about doing it at that point is that I think, ready to tell. That was the story that needed to come out at that point. And we talk a lot about that, storyteller readiness, and that sort of encompasses the ethics and the well-being aspect of doing this work, is we're not always ready to tell the story. And so I was able to step into that space, and that was the story that came out. And it was a way for me to really process an incredibly complex experience that was a completely different world, a completely different language, you know, a huge impact in the timeline, I guess, of my life. So it's funny because right before we met, I watched my story again, just to kind of remember it. You know, I know it so well, but I watched it, and like watching it, I just felt so satisfied.
Oh, I love that.
And it made me, it's like I instantly felt calmed by it, the fact that it's there and it's out there. And one of the things about creating that story for me was that it was almost this, like a high after. And it was like, I've got this experience out in a creative way. I felt really good about it not sort of living in me and cycling through my soul over and over again, right? It's there and it's now there for other people to see. I can share it when I want to share it. I've shared it in, you know, a couple different contexts. You know, I have it on my YouTube channel live, but I've also shared it with a screening with the Rare Disease Foundation, where we had three different stories that we shared there. One of geneticists shared his story. We had an adolescent patient with rare disease share her story. And then I shared mine as a caregiver. And it was just such a wonderful, well-rounded experience to see all of those different perspectives in one space.
I think those perspectives is really a key part of it, not being all the same story necessarily. A healthcare provider, a patient, a caregiver are three totally different areas. You mentioned that you felt calm after watching your story, but what was the process of creating the story like?
It wasn't so calm. It took me actually a long time to make this story. It came out in the narrative right away. Like I wrote it very quickly, but the process of pulling together the images as a photographer and mom who documented part of my, you know, way of processing my experience in the NICU. My daughter was in the NICU for 3 months. And then we had sort of many years of surgeries and medical follow-ups that were quite intensive after that. And so I was sort of snapping pictures all the way along to document it. And once we left the hospital, I stopped sort of doing anything with them, as many of us do. They sat on my computer. And so this was my second time of really going through those images and being selective of which ones made sense for the story. And I think, you know, there was a part of me that kind of had to stop and take a pause as I was making that story. And then I came back to complete it later on when the time was right. The process is not always linear.
Well, and I find that I often will actually have an image in mind. And I don't know if we've had this conversation or if you do this, but when I build a story, it's usually based off an image that I build the story around instead of starting with the words, which maybe some other people do. Do you find that's the same for you?
I don't typically start with an image in mind, which is really interesting. I start with sort of more of a free writing experience. I think that's my way of getting into a story and just to kind of see what's on the page and what's sticking out at me. If there's some like real moments there that make sense to build a story around or some connections that I hadn't thought about before. But once I've got that, then the images become really important. They can be used as a metaphor to emphasize your words, but I also think there's a lot of power in, you know, showing what the experience was, showing emotion in your images, showing the space that you were in at that time. In one image, there's so many stories that can be told. So it's really interesting to kind of play around with the sequencing and how that can impact the story.
Well, and both of us, I find, through our style of photography, really work to normalize what it's like to be in hospital. And so I find when I watch stories of yours, so many things resonate for me out of them. But I'm also wondering, as you've now worked with other people, because you're a level one trainer, which is one-on-one creation, and now you're a level two trainer, so workshops, what have been some of your experiences or stories that you would like to chat about?
I have a couple that I've done, well, I guess in the last year and a bit. One I did with the Rare Disease Foundation, that was the one I was talking about that we screened. It was with an adolescent storyteller, Amelie, who lives with 22q deletion syndrome. And she's also a competitive gymnast. And so I created this story with her at the same time as she was sort of thinking about her future as an adult, you know, graduating from high school, transitioning out of her gymnast career, thinking about what she wanted to do with her life next. Also graduating out of pediatric care, where she had spent months and years, she's been years in hospital through surgery and just illness. And so that was a really interesting parallel for her to take that time during that transition period of her life to reflect on her childhood experience. We met over Zoom 4 times to create her story. And I watched her sort of have to pause and think about how she felt about certain experiences she'd had. It wasn't sort of right there for her. I think a lot of it was a bit foggy and maybe just had become part of life. To being able to really embrace it and find some super impactful moments in conversation as we were working through her story, she brought up that there was this one time at the gym when she was about to have another heart surgery where she just realized, what if I don't have another birthday?
Yeah.
And that, you know, as a teenager, to have that realization in an environment where she didn't really speak about her rare disease or the heart surgeries that she'd had, to have that moment, she, you know, was really sort of a big realization, I think, for her. And the strength that she has, because she was able to pull herself together and like find friends and community to support her in that moment and get back on the floor and keep, you know, doing what she was doing, what she loves.
All of those things came across in her story. So I've seen Amelie's story quite a few times. We screened it last Heart Week as well. So she was one of the storytellers we brought on for a virtual screening that was all about like the cardiology side of things. But as a parent of a kiddo with congenital heart disease and knowing quite a few families with 22q, it really hit me. That story really got me, and hearing it from her perspective, because again, a lot of the time we work with adults and it's often caregivers talking about their experience. And that was a different perspective that I hadn't got to hear yet. If Amelie's listening to this, I have to tell you that part of what happened with our boost up pitch with the adults with congenital heart disease was because of the story she created. And every time either you or I have showed that story, we've talked to her about it and made sure she's comfortable, because that's one part of screening stories. That is that storyteller's story. They don't need to share it anywhere. And Amelie has been really open with sharing it with different people. And I've really appreciated that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I know you worked recently with Sue Robbins, and Sue is going to be at a conference that I'm going to when this podcast goes live. We'll be just finishing up. Sue wrote a blog after you worked with her. Her story is not public. It was something that she did more for herself, but she did talk about the experience. Will you tell us a bit about that story and that experience?
I did a level 2 training workshop with Maureen Lear, another facilitator. Sue joined us for that workshop as a storyteller. I was very excited that she was going to join us because Sue is a writer and a longtime healthcare advocate. She was also joining us at a really interesting time in her life because she was experiencing fatigue from advocacy. She needed to sort of step away from the healthcare narrative. She came in there with the open mind to learn a new way to tell stories. Also with the idea, you know, the understanding that she would be learning editing, video editing, and these techniques. Because in our workshops, we work with the storytellers to teach not only to write the story, but to teach how to actually create the story. So the storytellers are actually creating their own stories.
So I'm going to stop you there just for a second and explain that there's 3 levels of training with Common Language Digital Storytelling. Level 1 is co-creating one-on-one, where the storyteller is like the director and us facilitators work as the editor and creating it for them generally. Level 2, which is what Crystal's talking about right now, is when you are teaching a workshop and each of the participants are creating their own story. So they're being taught how to do this and supported through doing it, but that they're actually creating their own. And then level 3 training is what I am currently doing, and that is to train other facilitators. And when we talk about facilitators, Common Language Digital Storytelling has a group of people who are all trained. Some are connected to organizations, some are just on their own, like Crystal and I. We work with different organizations. But it's kind of a community of practice. We get together and do mentorship meetings and do further education in what we're learning about and how we're doing digital storytelling. But that's been something that's been really amazing. So Sue was creating her own story because she was one of the volunteers in a level 2 workshop. Okay. Thank you.
Exactly. Thanks for clarifying that. So we did this virtually. We get a tutorial, but then there's a lot of hands-on through the process as well. A lot of helping. We share screens. We help with the editing and all of the things as well. So she joined and decided she wanted to do a story that was a love letter to her grandson. She wanted something a little bit lighter, and it was amazing to watch her go through the experience because she was also having an undiagnosed healthcare situation. She felt a little bit like she needed to share some words with her grandson in case, you know, something did happen. So there was some heartful moments in there and in that processing. And I know through it, she was thinking about him as an 8-year-old. The really neat part about doing the story with Sue is that she incorporated some playfulness into the visuals of her story. She added neon signs and things like that that might be like a little bit more interesting to an 8-year-old, along with her beautiful words about what it was to become a grandma to reflect on her own experience as a mother, to see her daughter become a mother, and her sort of wishes for him and their family, you know, going forward. So it was a really beautiful story that she created. You know, she did write a blog about the experience. And for her, I think it was gaining a whole new understanding about what digital storytelling was. It's a very commonly used term. And I think there are a lot of different ways that digital stories are created. And her perception was that it was sort of a slideshow put to music and maybe some words, but understanding that there's a real, really grounded process to the way we create digital stories, the ethical framework. I mean, Sue has been through a lot of storytelling experiences in healthcare. The sort of way that we check in with our storytellers, ensure that they're benefiting from the experience, allow them the space to take a break if they need. And then we also have that continuing consent. So we're always following up through the future, even once the story is created, to make sure that they still give consent to sharing it. So I think for her, the impact was, you know, just learning about this new method and being able to incorporate visual arts into storytelling was a really impactful experience for her. And she could do it. You know, she did it. I think it's like a lot of people walk into the group workshops thinking, you know, my literacy with technology is not where I think it needs to be to create a short film, but it's not as challenging as, you know, you might perceive. And there's so much support there going through the process.
And I think that people all work at different levels. So Crystal, I would really like to put the link in for Sue's blog. It's called The Making of Big Love. Sue Robbins has also written a couple books. One is called Ducks in a Row, Healthcare Reimagined. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to add into the show notes Amelie's story that you have permission to share, and the link to your digital story as well.
Yeah.
You're comfortable with all of that?
Yes, absolutely. And I know, you know, just a note on Amelie's story there. I mentioned how she had a hard time sort of speaking about her rare disease, and she has shared it at 3 screenings. She has it live publicly on my YouTube site. Her brother has shared it. I have shared it on social media. So there's just a really amazing sort of feeling of empowerment with her story and how open she is to sharing it and inspiring others with it.
I love that. And it really has. I used it in the training with my adults with congenital heart disease to show them an example of a story. And it was really impactful for them as well. All right. So if you're going to create a new digital story, what moment would you focus your digital story around?
That's a good question. And that's always the challenge, right? Is finding the moment. I think the next story I want to create, I'm going to shift it a little bit. I'd like to run a group workshop with a group of rare disease families, so caregivers and patients. I see a lot of potential to use digital storytelling as a tool to bring the rare disease community together. And that, for our family, that was something that was incredibly important as we entered into our experience with our daughter. I think there is maybe a bit of a gap there. There isn't a lot of sort of mental health community support for rare disease families in Canada that I can see at the moment. There is a lot of advocacy happening around, you know, centers of excellence and orphan drugs and a rare disease strategy for Canada, which is amazing. I think there's room for digital storytelling there to bring people together and then to be able to use these stories for education, for quality improvement initiatives that happen throughout the healthcare world. So that's sort of the next set of stories or story I want to tell would be around that and having that full circle experience of community connecting, because that's so important. We know that rare disease families feel isolated often, and we have so many, we talk about commonalities in digital storytelling. We have so many commonalities, and I think digital storytelling can bring people together around those commonalities so that families are not feeling so isolated. And they're also able to process their experience and then share their stories. So there's sort of this empowerment that can happen.
I love it. And I think that it is absolutely attainable. And I think your own digital story about being a parent with rare disease is helpful for individuals and organizations to see that. So when you asked your volunteers to be part of the training, what did you tell them about yourself so that they knew and kind of felt comfortable with joining in?
That's a great point. So I always talk about, of course, like the training and ethical framework that we've learned, but I talk about myself as being a rare disease parent because there is a connection there. There's sort of an understanding, like a common understanding that we've all been through something and that we will handle, you know, storytellers with gentleness and grace and empathy through the process. And I think it allows people a little bit of space to open up, be able to be vulnerable and work through the storytelling process. So definitely I share that. And then of course, you know, my experience as a photographer as well. All of this work that I'm doing allows me to enter these sort of emotionally sensitive spaces.
So is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I didn't touch on that you feel like the last thing, the last word I need to have is? I know we can both talk about this a lot.
You know, I think one of the things that I think that really sticks out for me about digital storytelling is that it is both a therapeutic process, but it also can be a creative process as well.
You touched on this earlier, but like the number of people who are surprised with what they created, mm-hmm. who thought that they wouldn't be able to do like the imagery part or like tell the story well, and then they see it all as a final product and you can see their like just the joy yes. at having created something like that. And so I think that's the power in what we do as facilitators as well, is support people at the level that they need to create a story that they are proud of and that they are comfortable with.
Yeah.
Crystal, thank you as always for having conversations with me. It was a pleasure to have you on Leading Through Stories.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for creating this.
Crystal is a common language digital storyteller with our collective with Common Language Digital Storytelling. All the links to the work she does will be in the show notes for this, and we will be sure to share. Everyone has a story to tell. We would love to hear from you. We always include a link to the stories we're talking about in the episode show notes. Please let us know what resonated for you in today's episode. Your comments will be passed on to the storyteller. You can email us at ltspodcast2023@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at Leading Through Stories. Leading Through Stories is sponsored by Common Language Digital Storytelling, facilitator training for health and wellness changemakers. Don't miss the next episode. Subscribe to Leading Through Stories on your favorite podcast platform.